Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of Future Work World podcast. My name is Barry Winkless, Chief Strategy Officer at CPL Group and Head of the Future of Work Institute.
And I'm Alicia Hegarty, Associate Director at the Future of Work Institute.
Now, throughout the show, we will discuss a range of topics relating to the present and future of this thing called work.
And interview experts in their field to inspire you to make changes, improve work and life.
So to kick off each show, we're going to discuss a trend or an insight that we find interesting for the future of work. Alicia, what's on your mind today?
Interesting. Today I wanted to chat about AR, augmented reality, and VR, virtual reality. And I'd recently read how they are positioning to revolutionise how we work and how we learn. And there's two examples that I have, particularly one that's been used for attraction and one that's been used for training and development. Mm-hmm. The US and the UK Royal Navy are using VR headsets to simulate what it might be like to work within the naval service.
So
they bring these to careers fair and other events to really immerse potential candidates in the realities of the role. And people get to simulate a mission or to steer a boat. And it's a very unique way really to show the realities of the role, particularly a role that can be quite demanding, let's face it. And the Royal Navy, interestingly, saw 126% increase in applications just by using VR at some of their events. So I thought this was really interesting.
That's really, really interesting. I think it's a really good example of using VR to give people a sense of the job that they're going to do. I think it's maybe something that strikes me as a relevant case study for VR, because I think, you know, we're looking at VR, as you know, Alicia, and some of the areas where it's being used is a little bit questionable. And something like this, you read and you go, yeah, this actually makes perfect sense. So I really like that example. And, it, you know, the numbers don't lie. 126% increase in applications. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. And they actually did a pre and post analysis where they got people to say, are you interested in applying for the role? And they people who said no, they used the simulation. And then afterwards, the majority of them had then gone back and said, actually, yes, now I am interested in the role. Yeah. So it's really interesting what your perception is. So I think it's a nice way of, rather than telling people you're a great place to work or what your value proposition is, show them you're
absolutely
a great place to work and what your value
100%.
Proposition is as well.
Anything else on the VR use? You said two examples.
Yeah, so the other example I have as well, and we've probably seen some of this, particularly in the usage of like hospitals and training, particularly people using VR for simulating surgeries and things like that as well. But interestingly, some football teams are using VR to help improve performance by simulation. Mm. And also Walmart, the US retailer, are using it to help train customer service staff to deal with holiday rushes and Black Friday crowds. So this made me really think about how we may be able to apply this to things for training moving forward. So say, for example, for leadership training down the line, where emerging leaders might be able to simulate realistic leadership challenges and use VR as a type of role play in this as well, or how sales training could also be conducted using VR.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And these to me kind of strike me as examples that make a lot of sense. And I think for me, when it comes to this front-end immersive training, give people a sense of what they're going to work within, that really makes sense to me from a use perspective. So you can probably see that growing an awful lot more. I think in the early days, VR was struggling maybe to find use cases. These seem to make a lot of sense. So I'm sure we'll see more of it. I know within the Future Work Institute, we've been dabbling in virtual reality conferences and events, and I know we're going to be doing more in that space as well.
So we'll move into the next section or the next part of the show where we'll interview an expert. Since this is our first show, I'm going to interview Barry.
My one and only time I'm going to be interviewed for this one, but there we go.
But no, it's interesting because I know, Barry, you've been asked this question an awful lot. You know, what is the future of work and why should organisations and employees be concerned about it?
Yeah, I think that it sounds like such an obvious question, but I suppose from our own research, we recognised early days a few years ago now that there wasn't really a defined, you know, thought about what the future of work is. And from our perspective, really, it's about the evolution and design of what we call 3 W's. And those 3 W's are the workplace, work task and workforce. Workplace is very much around where we work. So that can be a digital, physical or virtual space. workforce really is around how our workforces are changing, either through generational shifts or, you know, different types of employment types, and also our mindsets behind that. And then finally, there's the work tasks. So they're the tools, the methodologies, the technologies that actually deliver the work. So I think it's a really useful model to think about when you think about the future work, are those three W's.
Yeah, and I think the absence of one of them is really paramount to any organization, really. You need to think about where you're going to do the work, and, you know, who you're going to have to do them and how you're going to do them. So it really is an important model for consider.
Yeah, I think one of the big things we're seeing is, you know, often people don't think about how the three W's interact. So in order to really think strategically about the future work, you do really need to think about how those three synergize, interact, sometimes are a conflict with each other, and really stand back and recognize, oh, actually this has a has an impact on this and this has an impact on that. So I think, for example, when we had the enforced move to more virtual working, I think people were surprised at the lack of tools and supports, you know, from a work task perspective, that were there for them to avail of to work in a more meaningful way virtually. And, you know, people are catching up with that now as well. Even things like, you know, looking at the workforce differently and understanding that there's different ways that we can employ people, and then understanding that that actually will have a major impact on your diversity within your organization, because you might broaden the net of kind of people that would like to work with you because they work maybe in different times or they might work in different ways. So I think the big thing for me is not just about the three W's, but it's also about how those three interact. And obviously from our own research within those three W's, there are a number of what we call continuums that organizations can think about how they evolve each of those areas to become really much more of a destination organization for future employees and indeed current employees.
Yeah, and I think it's important as well to note that they could be different for each organization.
Absolutely.
You know, they're not all going to be the same, and some might not be applicable for other organizations.
Yeah.
So some organizations may not be able to have a fully remote workforce.
Absolutely.
Or they absolutely need to be on site. So it's really important that every organization, when they use this, if they use this model, applies it to their organization.
Yeah, and I always use the analogy of an uncle of mine who used to have a very big, fancy hi-fi system with lots of buttons that you could slide up and down. And I always like to say to organizations, you know, you've got 18 levers there that you can play to. The way you set those levers ultimately will be specific to your organization. And as you said yourself, Leisha, some of those mightn't be applicable to your organization, you might be able to do anything with. But I like to say, no matter what size of organization you are, you can at least move a few of those levers across those three W's. But absolutely every model is unique. I think the big thing for me is organizations to recognize that there is a thing called the future of work, there is a model, and that if they think strategically about it, they can really create a new advantage. And I actually purposely use the phrase collaborative advantage over competitive advantage, because I think competitive advantage is really our previous generation. Now we need to think about the collaborative advantage, you know, how do we work better with our colleagues and our communities, ultimately to have that broader impact beyond shareholder value. So, you know, I think that's the key for me is how they interact, how we use them, and how we think strategically about the future of work.
Yeah. And I guess there is, you know, some people may have this fear, the robots are coming for us and they're coming for our jobs and that's the future of work, you know.
Yeah.
But I think even just from listening to what you're saying there, it's just about, it's the evolving how we work and how, and the people who do the work for us. So there probably is, as you say, this collaborative advantage to really work with and together.
Absolutely.
With technology and robotics. And, and I know we'll talk to other individuals, you know, within the, across the show.
Yeah.
And we'll have them on the podcast. But I think it's really important part of the future of work is not to really fear it, but to embrace the technology and the opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually use the phrase augmented humans, because I think if you look at it that way, it still puts us as humans very much front and center. And then really it's about technology augmenting our abilities. Iron Man is, for me, is really good. It's a really good example. I was a fan of Iron Man growing up, the Iron Man comics. And, you know, when you think about it, there's nothing really super about Iron Man, except he's an extremely intelligent and rich, I should say, individual. But actually, the technology that he's developed enables him to do all sorts of things that wouldn't have been possible without that. But at the end of the day, it's the human that drives the technology. And I think for me, if I was to say in one word, what's the likes of AI and more intelligent technologies doing, it's really reshaping our roles and making us look at roles in a very, very different way. It is probably going to drive conversations around things like how much technology is too much. You know, when is enough enough when it comes to the application of technology over people? But I think ultimately it will have a overall beneficial effect in terms of creating new types of roles. You know, but the jury's out, I suppose, in terms of the long-term impact of all of these technologies. I think we just need to keep an eye on it through shows like this and through our own work in the field, is keep an eye on it, making really sure and understand what role the humans have in things like manufacturing 5.0 and everything else.
Yeah, no, it's really important. And I know from our own research as well, a lot of organisations had said that they were aiming to work towards becoming more human-centric.
Yeah.
Essentially, which is exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's focusing on the human.
Yeah.
To augment the...
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one because, like, I know there's a lot of press on more human. And absolutely, but I always say it's one of three things. I think organizations are becoming more human, more societal, and more technological. And within those three, they interact, you know. And I think if we think about all of those things as a system, it's really interesting because then you start asking yourself a question, well, how can we use technology to better personalize the career journey for each of our employees, right? Which you couldn't do 20 years ago. It's just impossible. If you have an organization of 100,000 people to personalize their career journey, it's probably was impossible. Now with technology and used in the right way, you can probably at least create some personalization of that journey. So I think if you start looking at those three things, the humanity piece, the societal piece, and the technological piece, and understand the interplay of those three and understand how we can create new solutions and opportunities through the interaction of those three, I think that's really, really interesting. So, for example, you know, even if you think about the societal aspect, thinking about your workforce, not just in terms of your core employees, but then also maybe your suppliers, the contractors, the voluntary organizations that you work with, and how do you get the most out of that community? You know, so really, that's a lot of the future work as well. You know, how do we think more societal along with the human and technological bit? So I'm really excited about the opportunities between the three. And I think we need to start thinking about that as this interactive, you know, interacting set of things that to, in those three things, there's so much innovation that we can create. So that's where I get excited by the future of work. And I think if we just look at the technological side, or we just look at the human side, or we just look at the societal side, and like the sustainability agenda has gotten a lot of focus, then we're going to lose something. And that worries me a bit. I see lots of initiatives that focus on one or the other. And they're missing the point that the magic happens in the middle, in the interface. So I think that's where I, you know, that's what I mean when we talk about thinking strategically about the future of work. It's about thinking about the interactivity of all of these areas. I would say if people thought about the three W's and, you know, the humanity, society and technology, that is really a strategic and thinking model, right, for being successful in the future of work as an organization.
So Barry, what are your top three tips for anyone listening to help prepare for the future of work?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I always try to make this as simple as possible because there's so many ways to answer this question. I think a big thing for me, and it's based on the Japanese concept of Shoshin, it's to adopt this beginner's mindset. So, and what I mean by that is really stand back, look at your role, or even look at the career that you're looking to be in, and understand where that role is going. Because, you know, even take something like marketing, been massively disrupted by technology, been massively disrupted in terms of the kind of roles that you can do it in marketing, just as an example. And I think if you have an open mindset and a beginner's mindset, it enables you then to go to what I would call the second tip, which is this ongoing learning. And people always get scared by learning and immediately they think about formal learning. But actually, there's a lot of stuff out there you can find for free. You know, you can do projects practically for nothing. I learned how to use VR. You mentioned VR earlier on, Alicia. You know, I, you know, developed up something in VR over 10 weeks and I knew nothing about VR before that. But the tools are so simple now. You know, guys out there are trying to make these systems no code orientated so you can build stuff. So I think the second thing is go out there and start learning some of this stuff. It's amazing the amount of people who don't use, for example, or don't even understand ChatGPT. They talk about it but haven't used it. And even just using it will take away, you know, the fear, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's an important part as well. And I suppose really the third thing for me that's really important is that we're in a really interesting place. We're in a place of experimentation and, you know, new ideas. And it's really to kind of open those things up and really think about that and understand that we are moving into a new world and to embrace it, not to be afraid of it. I think that's another really important aspect from my perspective. I think one final thing I'd say as well, because if you really think about the way work is changing, you know, there's more and more opportunities for people to do their own thing, right? Not just work for a traditional organization. Never before has there been opportunities for people to work on multiple things, multiple jobs, and not necessarily, unfortunately, just to make ends meet, right? But there are opportunities there for everyone. So I think they're the main things I call out in terms of really front-facing for the future of work.
So we all still have an opportunity to become superstars if we want to
absolutely
follow our music career. Or
I tried that, didn't quite work out for me, but there you go.
Awesome. Thanks, Barry.
No problem. So guys, our last section of the show is what we call Artifact of the Future. And in this section, I'm going to share an artifact. This can be a concept or an idea that may well exist into the future. And the artifact I'm going to talk about today is a book called Meta Modern Management. It was developed by Charles Wordsworth in 2028. And the subtext is Managing Wellness, Experience and Transformation. The book focuses on leaders needing to put wellness as a priority, not just their own wellness, but then also their team's wellness, and thinking about wellness in a much more holistic way. So looking at wellness, not just from a, you know, physical perspective, but everything from a spiritual perspective, all the way through to a purpose-led perspective as well. The second element it talks a lot about is the importance of leaders in designing experiences that matter for the people that work for them. And then the core tenet of the book actually is about how do we transform individuals' ability to transform themselves. So that's our first artifact of the future, Meta Modern Management. You'll be able to read it in 2028.
Sounds like something I might write.
Exactly. Yeah. You can read a book that doesn't yet exist.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, please hit subscribe and head over to your favorite podcasting platform to listen to more episodes.
And also come and join the conversation over at futurework.world, where you can download our white papers, join our event, and discuss future work topics with other leaders from around the world. Thanks very much.
Thank you.